Good morning. My name is Reverend Roy Doran, and I'm part of the leadership team at St. John's Birkdale. Today, the 3rd of November, we're starting a new series. And it's a new series on serving. But not just any form of serving, but serving like Jesus. The passage I'm going to read to you is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and, kneeling down, asked a favour of him. "What is it you want?" Jesus asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." Now when the ten heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. They called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. I want to try and set this passage into context. It's very important for us to do that. After the disciples had been called by Jesus, they left their nets and followed him. You can read this, of course, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 21 following. But in so doing, they saw and experienced things that they had never, ever seen before. People being healed, preaching and teaching like they'd never ever heard before. The challenges which Jesus shared publicly and which were rejected by the religious leaders of the time were also in evidence. For instance, Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 says, "I tell you then that you will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven only if you are more faithful than the teachers of the law and the Pharisees in doing what God requires." You can imagine how this went down with the religious leaders, can't you? But it was his teaching his disciples that they were going to have to challenge all wrong behaviour, no matter what that behaviour was or the person who this message was directed at. This would mean that they would face all sorts of accusations and gossip about them. They'd be driven out of towns and cities where they were ministering, as their teaching in itself would be rejected. Let's have a look at this for ourselves and see the relevance of it today. Jesus explains that there would be a cost for them to pay as they considered this servanthood role if they remained true and continued the kind of teaching Jesus had begun. It was unlike any other servant role that a person could take in the plan of things. But they didn't realise that they were going to receive the most powerful gift of the Holy Spirit to help and guide them through their servanthood roles. Jesus is the only one who would ever pay the price for our salvation, but also that the acts of service would take him to the cross at Calvary, where he faced the cruelest of deaths for you and for me. It was the teachings and healings and challenges which Jesus had shown that the disciples would need to continue wherever the Lord would send them. That it was vital that they remain true to what they'd heard and seen when they journeyed with Jesus in the synagogues. And they saw him healing the sick. They listened to his teaching that their lives would be dramatically enriched every moment of every day and always for the better. so they also learned something of the cost of their change of lifestyle. People will hate you, and you will be persecuted. You must not take revenge on those who do such terrible things against you. Instead, if they hit you on the right cheek, offer them their left cheek also. If someone takes you to court to sue you for your shirt, give him your coat as well. These passages and references are from Matthew's Gospel. There's a whole lot more recorded in Matthew's Gospel, too much to highlight in the short time I have here with you. But in a brief resume, into the ministry of all the disciples, their lives were transformed. Yes, their lives were enriched beyond their imagination, true. But the cost was also very real. Verse 28 in the passage I read to you, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to redeem many people. In these words, Jesus reminds us that the true mark of a servant lies in serving others with love and compassion. It's not about seeking positions of prominence in the church or in society. It's about serving others selflessly with the truth of the gospel, no matter what the cost. So what does servanthood look like today? Well, if I look back in my previous experience to my personal life, the hard bit in being called to serve the Lord was telling my parents that we were going to give up our home and our livelihood, which was building into what might have been a very comfortable lifestyle. My parents had helped us on that journey. My father was rather critical, using some perhaps expletives I won't share with you, but to say that he thought I was crazy. But you know, through God's grace and mercy, no amount of wealth could ever buy what Sue and I and our boys have experienced. In this part of our world, here in Birkdale, it's relatively easy. But when I think of the Lord called Sue and I, along with our sons, into the ministry, it's had its struggles. And those struggles have been very, very real. But nothing like the struggles some Christians face in places like northern parts of Nigeria or in North Korea, to name but two areas. And there are many more. When I think of my relationship with the church in Nigeria, I spent 25 years helping our diocese have a link with Akure in Nigeria. And Nigeria itself is split into two groups of people. In the northern part is mainly Muslim. In the southern part it is mainly Christian. In the northeastern part, there was a lot of activity that used to come in through the jungles. And cruel killings were very evident, certainly in people whose lives were not of the same faith as those who had lived there. I know that there was a diocese there of some 89 churches. And in 1 year alone, over 88 of them were closed. The rest, well, when I say closed, I'm talking about people who were worshipping being burnt alive. Those who tried to escape into the forest were killed by guns. Those people were on the front line. Those people were calling to acts of servanthood. And there are many people, for instance, in northern Korea, who daren't share their faith for fear of losing their lives. There's three things which I want us just to think about just for a moment or two. And they're these. We must respond to the call of the Lord to surrender our whole lives to him. And that means all that we are and all that we have. If we claim to be Christian, that's what we're called to do. Not bits and pieces, but everything. The second thing I want to mention is, of course, we are blessed with the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us into this role of true servanthood. We're not on our own. We will face difficulties and struggles. We will face all sorts of issues which seem to go against us. But the Holy Spirit not only empowers us to actually fulfil the task which he is guiding and directing us in, but also to strengthen us through the times of struggle. And thirdly, we have to remain faithful no matter what the cost. I'll tell you the reason why I say that. Because the benefits far outweigh the struggles. Our response to the call of the gospel is the starting point, and it's absolutely vital for every Christian. If we don't love Jesus enough to surrender our whole lives to him, then neither are we fit for heaven, because there is no place in heaven for sin, because sin cannot enter it. If it did, then of course it wouldn't be heaven. So it has to be everything or nothing. The Holy Spirit of God, which enables us to do all that the Lord commands us to do, and not only what we think we are willing to do for him, despite the struggles we will face, as we endeavour to fulfil the task he gives us to our ultimate destiny, which is heaven. And heaven is there for all faithful servants. I want to look back at Jesus just for a moment and share these words with you. No one took Jesus' life. He gave it for us. And a true servant of Christ is one who realizes this and obeys the call of God to serve as God alone decides. It's not what we decide to do, it's what God wants us to do. And it is life transforming. It'll be hard, but it'll be worth it, especially when we're called home to glory. So the cost of being a servant of Christ was very real for James, one of the sons whose mother spoke to Jesus, because his longing to be a faithful servant resulted in him being martyred. History tells us he was killed with the sword in order of King Herod Agrippa of Judea about 44 AD. The other son who was spoken about was John. By order of the Roman Emperor Domitian, John was exiled to the island of Patmos. Domitian ordered his exile because he saw John as a threat to his rule. However, his popularity and influence in the Christian community continued through the correspondence with all the churches. And in fact, John wrote the book of Revelation during his exile. You see, in reality, God used the situation where John was to reveal his divine truth to us of what the future holds. When he was released from exile, he returned to Ephesus, and John founded and built churches all through Asia, and he lived until he was very old. So what are we to do? Well, Jesus' teachings compel us to stop and reassess our own priorities and consider how we follow his example of servanthood in our daily lives. The cost of servanthood is very real. We may want to share our faith with other people, members of our family, friends, neighbours. There's a chance that in so doing, you may be rejected. You may be laughed at. But whatever the Lord tells us to do through his Holy Spirit should be tested and considered very seriously by those who are also spirit-filled. This can be done by personal prayer and also by the help and support of those who have journeyed down the same path of faith. Whatever the role God may call you to, on his behalf, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is you have been faithful to his calling, no matter what the cost. Oh, and there's one final thing, and it's this. Not everyone is called to be a vicar, you'll be pleased to know. This is only one aspect of ministry amongst many others. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. Mm-hmm.